Well, I think we're all glad we're inside today. Maybe. I'm particularly glad because then I get to use this little lapel mic, which means I get to move around because I'm not good at standing still. But I'll try not to make you too dizzy with my moving around. And also, those who are watching at home, I'm not crazy if I go like this. I realize that you are looking at the slides below me. So I'll try to help you out a little bit there. And also, if I'm going like this, people in here, I'm not crazy. So just wanted to clear that up. Because also being inside means we get to use our technology again. So Mennonites are known for their building abilities, right? This is a picture from the youth group's MDS trip a while ago. You can see Trenton there in the middle. And a friend of mine who worked with the Mennonite Disaster Service for years told me that a VP of FEMA told him exactly what FEMA meant. Now, it wasn't federal management or Federal Emergency Management Agency like everybody else thinks it is. What it actually stands for is it didn't work. Why did it do that? Hey, that's not supposed to be there. Well, I was just applauding technology and it failed me. Anyways, what it stands for is Find Every Mennonite Available. That is what FEMA actually stands for. So Mennonites can appreciate the structure, right? We appreciate the structure. And other people seem to recognize that. I think my theory is if you put Mennonite crafted in front of absolutely anything that's made, physically made with hands, you can double the price at least. This may have to do a little bit with the confusion between Mennonites and our Amish brothers and sisters, but you know, advertising is powerful, especially the wording we use. But no matter what, Mennonites are known for building, and we like building. There's a satisfaction that comes from building a table or a house with our own hands. And even those of us who are not genetically Mennonite, we can appreciate that. This is the structure I just finished in our backyard. No, it's not a chicken coop. It's a playhouse. That was my quarantine project. I may have gone a little bit extreme. You can come and play in it if you want. So organizations like MDS, they give us the opportunity to build or rebuild structures for those who have lost theirs. The desire to build for those who don't have or have lost runs deep in our tradition, in our history. So when we read a passage like this morning's, we can identify with David. Where'd David go? Something happened with your slide there, or your program didn't go on. Anyways, there's supposed to be a picture of Michelangelo's David, just the head part. At the start of the passage, David had been given rest from all the fighting that he had been doing. And in 2 Samuel chapter 6, the Ark of the Covenant finally arrives in Jerusalem with much celebration. If you remember the part about David dancing in the street, that happened just the chapter before this one for this morning. So David was kind of hyper aware that God was living in a tent while he was living in an elaborate palace. So he said what any good Mennonite would say, let's get this building project moving. And he talks to the prophet Nathan, because that's what you do when you want to start a building project. You get permission from someone in authority, right? And Nathan initially says yes, which to me is a statement of agreement that, you know, we can't know for sure what Nathan was thinking, but it seems like Nathan was in agreement with David that God deserved better than a tent. But then Nathan goes home and goes to sleep. And we can imagine that David stayed up very late that night drawing elaborate plans out for this beautiful temple that he was going to build. But as Nathan is sleeping, God comes to him and tells Nathan what he is actually thinking about this dwelling place. And as it would turn out, God is not looking to have David build a house of God. God will have a house built by David's son, a physical house. But more than that, God is going to establish David's house, his line of descendants, as an enduring kingdom. And among other things in this passage, this reminds me that God does not think like we do. Seeking a brick and mortar dwelling is something that we think about. And if you think, fast forward to the New Testament, just as a picture of this, remember the transfiguration when Jesus is up on the mountaintop talking to Moses and Elijah? Do you remember what Peter wanted to do? Somebody? Peter wanted to build tents. He wanted to build structures for the three to stay in because he really didn't know what else to do. So he said, hey, I'm going to build some structures for you. It's the way we think. But in in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, we read that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Are you going to come? There we go. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So it's good for us to remember that we don't think like God, and God doesn't think like us all of the time. There are times when we get those moments, but... So in response to David's desire to build God a palace, God responds with what Brian read for us. Here's just a couple of verses of it. It says, I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? So basically, it seems like God is responding to David by saying, did I ask for that? David was thinking like a human. So I think we need to move backwards a little bit to go back and to really to define exactly what we mean by a temple. So first, we need to examine what it looks like. What is the temple and what does it represent? The Temple of Solomon, we know. this is an artist's rendition of it, obviously. The Temple of Solomon is a dwelling place that was built for the worship of God. It was built with walls and a roof, as we sang in the song this morning. And in the video from the Bible Project, which if you want to check out the Bible Project, they have their own website, and they stream all of their stuff for free on YouTube. And they have tremendous videos. If you're on at home, just wait until the end of the service and then jump over to Bible Project. They have tremendous videos on all kinds of subjects, books of the Bible, whatever. So enough of that advertisement. In the video, they said, the whole point of this earthly temple is that it overlaps with God's heavenly home. The temple is where God lives and rules as heavenly king. God lived in heaven, but this temple was the door, so to speak, between heaven and earth. But God could not be contained by this box made by human hands. And as also stated in the video, the temple was a symbol that pointed to the fact that God was present in all of creation. But this kind of established box for God created a mindset that continues with us today. It's what I'm going to creatively call the temple mindset. It's a mindset that puts God in a box. And if we fast forward to the New Testament group called the Sadducees, if you remember those, they believed that the path to holiness only happened through the temple. So when the second temple was destroyed in 70 AD, this group slowly disappeared. But they had all of their focus was around this building, this structure where they believed God was. And all this got me thinking about songs. I feel like I thought about songs a lot in the last couple weeks preparing this message. And I remembered a song that was taught to me by some of my college friends that they sang as kids. Now, I didn't sing this song as a kid, but they did. And the lyrics that I can remember were, if I had a little white box to put my Jesus in, I'd take him out and kiss his face and put him back again. So there is a verse about the devil, too, about taking him out and pounding his face. But, well, it's got some bad theology in that song. We'll just stick with that. So this temple, this represents that temple mindset, that I can put God in this little box, that we think, we when we deeply think about it, we know that's a crazy idea, but it's an idea that we carry and we live with and that we react to more than we would like. So although we recognize that God is everywhere, we put a special emphasis on the buildings where we worship. Even the name of our church, Bethel, means house of God. Like the ancient Israelites, we get attached to a building. And another song, as I said, I thought about a lot about songs. Another song that somebody reminded me of in the last 2 weeks is a song called When God Lived Here. It was a song that the Bluegrass Group performed a number of years ago. This is the first verse of that song. If you just read through it real quick, it talks about the windows are boarded, paint's peeling. And if you read that last line, I still remember a time when God lived here. It emphasizes that idea that we think God dwells in a place and that God is contained within this place. You know, this song is mourning the loss of a building more so than the true temple. So God's light and love no longer radiate from that building. And the writer of the song would probably want that building to return to its former glory. But let's go back to the passage from 2 Samuel. There's another abandoned church. Abandoned churches are really pretty, by the way, which is sad. I really struggle with this temple mindset when it comes to looking at pictures of old churches. But if we look at the passage, God turns this decision to build a physical house into one of building the line of David. And this is a passage that does point to Jesus. So in... Oh, come on. gotta love it. Gotta love technology. Okay, so in verse 16 of chapter 7, God says, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." And we find this verse echoed in Luke chapter 1, when the angel is talking to Mary. And this is chapter 1, verses 31 through 33. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So through Jesus, we see this different kind of temple emerge. And in John chapter 2, Jesus refers to his body as the temple. Now in this passage, he is questioned about his authority and is asked for a sign shortly after clearing the temple. And Jesus responds by saying, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And those who heard it thought he was talking about the brick and mortar temple that they were standing in. But later, Jesus' disciples realized that he was talking about himself. And instead of establishing his rule and reign, Jesus' rule and reign, through a temple or a throne, Jesus instead chooses to establish his rule through his followers. In 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17b, oh my goodness, half of my messages are gone. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 3, 16, 17b, we read, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple." And in 2 Corinthians 6, 16, we read, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And finally, in 1 Peter 2, 5, we read, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." So through Jesus, as mentioned in the video, we become these mini temples where God rests and rules. And all this makes me think of another song, from my childhood. This one you might know. Remember building up the temple? Let me sing that one. People sing that one? Building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Say, brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one who remembers that one. So someone built, Solomon built the physical temple that David wanted to build. But Jesus established the new temple, not made by human hands, but in the hearts and minds of his followers. So does this mean that the work is done? Or do we still need to keep building the temple? Well, of course, the obvious answer is yes, we do need to keep building the temple, but how do we do that? And how do we do it in light of our current climate of pandemic and shutdowns and everything? Step one is to remember who is doing the building, right? As many temples, we are vessels of the light and love of Christ. And Psalm 127:1, that one I think did work, says that unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. In order to be the living stones that Peter talked about, we need to stay tapped into the source. The foundation of the temple is on Jesus. So our personal relationships with Jesus are paramount in building of the temple. And as we build our relationships with Jesus, we can lay more stones in the temple of God. Now, if you've not started the journey with Jesus yet and are curious about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, the prayer team, as mentioned, will be available after the service, or you can feel free to give Jordan or myself a call to explore that more. At this point, you might be thinking, if we individually are temples of God, God's very presence on earth, do we need each other? Or do we need a building to meet in? Now, I'm certainly not saying that this building does not matter. It is a beautiful building. But as the hymn said, again, that we sang, the building is just a building. But it becomes a body that lives when we are gathered here. We carry the presence of God into this place. This is not God's home address. God dwells in the followers of Jesus. And do we need each other? Absolutely. We are designed for community. We need to be the temple of God for each other, extending the love and light of God. And as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, we are the body of Christ, and we all play a different role in the building of God's temple. So how do we continue to build this temple together and in a pandemic? In some ways, I think that COVID has done the church a favor. I know that sounds crazy, especially when it seems that COVID has been attacking the church on multiple levels. You know, Brian mentioned we might have to shrink our physical gathering a little bit pretty soon. But we've had to switch the way that we do church. Spaced out, watching online, etc. And it pushed us into a physical isolation from one another. But it also presented us with an opportunity. It forces us out of that temple mindset. It forced us to think differently about how we interact with one another. And it has shown us just how important we are to each other. Now, I'm not saying that I want to send COVID a thank you card, but we can learn from our current situation. So how do we build the temple in the pandemic? Very simple answer. By investing where God is. And where is God? Another simple answer. In one another. We build the temple by spurring one another on to love and good deeds, as it says in Hebrews 10. And we build the temple by sharing the light and love of Jesus with those who are around us, and we help them realize the love of Jesus that lives within them. Back at the beginning of September, when Amy Zimbelman preached, she challenged us to think and pray about those things in our lives that are keeping us from Jesus. And as we work on those things, as we work on removing those barriers, we also need to think and pray about those things that are keeping us from those around us. Maybe it's someone else's beliefs or their politics in our current climate or their clothes or something else. It's paramount for us to remember that nothing can separate us, not COVID, not anything else. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that is true for each and every person that we come into contact with. Whether it's mask to mask or face to screen, we can still be that temple for each other. We carry a great responsibility when we carry God's presence into the world. Now, why Jesus chose his imperfect followers to do this, I wish I knew. But he did. And this isn't a new message. We've heard it all before. But along with being imperfect, we are also pretty forgetful. We need constant reminders. So maybe what we all need to do right at this moment is maybe we need to get out our calendars, be they digital or physical. Mine is digital. I do look at it sometimes. Maybe we need to put an appointment every day in our calendar, reminding us that we are the temple, be the temple in our calendar as a daily reminder of what we are called to do, that we are the temple, we are the body of Christ. So every MDS trip that I have ever been on focuses on building physical structures. But when you talk with the long-term MDS volunteers at the placements, you find out that there is a lot more building going on than just with hammers and nails. They remind you that you are not building a house. You are building someone's house. And they even encourage you to build relationships with the homeowners more so than worrying about swinging a hammer. A physical structure certainly gets built, but the temple, the kingdom of God, is built through the relationships. So it's time for us to take on a different kind of building than can be done with a hammer. So are we ready to build up the temple of God? Brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Let's pray.